All right, folks. Well, thank you so much for coming. I'm Albert Ruel. Right now, I'm working for the Canadian Council of the Blind, coordinating in the Western Region the Get Together with Technology program. The workshop, we're supposed to be talking about peer mentoring, and I think, to me, that's what the GTT program is all about, and that's what excited me the most about coming to work here. A lot of what we've tried to do through GTT is thanks in part to some work that Linda did years ago. Linda Bartram and the Alliance for Equality of Blind Canadians some years ago created a document that could probably use a little updating now, but it still has some really good, valid stuff. So look for the peer mentoring handbook that is available through the AABC. I think you can get it off of their website. So look at blindcanadians.ca and really look at peer mentoring from the perspective of, you know, at $110 an hour, how much professional training can you afford? How much professional training is available anyway for a lot of this technology, especially technology? And that's what the Get Together with Technology program is all about, of course, is a peer mentoring program focused on assistive technology. So what we've encouraged people to do is to come together in groups or even in pairs or small groups. We do some telephone calls, but it's all based on us helping each other and ourselves. So if I can't find enough professional tutoring and training to learn these $1,000 devices I've got in my pocket or on a shelf collecting dust, let's not sit and wait for somebody to come along and give us the training we need. Let's get out there. If we don't already have a group that we can access, let's create one in our community. I know that in my own life, going from perfect vision, I started to lose my sight at 21, pretty much ran out of pictures I could use by the time I was about 34. At 42 or so, I couldn't even tell if the lights were on or off anymore, and I'm 62 now. So I've had this progression, and I did learn some pretty good skills from the CNIB professional trainers. So I learned a few mobility skills, a few daily living skills, but where the magic really happened is whenever I got together with a group of other blind or vision impaired folks. That's where I really learned how to be a blind person, because I learned many different ways to do everything. And you might have noticed there isn't just one way to do anything with technology or with orientation and mobility. You know, we all have our own little strengths, our own little weaknesses, and our own ways of doing things. And the only way that we can share that or learn from others is if we gather with other people in a peer mentoring situation. So how many people here do get involved knowingly and purposefully, go out and get involved in blindness groups so that you can learn from each other? How many people do that? Say yes. Or how many of you haven't yet started doing it?
Me.
So I'm almost preaching to the converted. So should we talk about something else? No. Has anybody had bad experiences gathering together with other blind folks?
Have had in the past.
Have had?
Albert, I think it depends how they're planned. For example, when I was doing iPhone teaching in Toronto, it only took about 2 sessions for me to go, okay, everybody, you can't get into this session unless you have a pair of earbuds. When it's your turn for your phone to be heard in the group, you can pull out your earbuds while I work with you. But we soon had to learn that 10 or 11 or 15 iPhones going on in a room meant that nobody accomplished anything with it. And that's the closest I've ever had to any bad experience related.
So what are we learning here? That blind people are normal? Yeah. We like some people and we don't like other people. We get along well with some people when we don't get along with others. And we can learn well from somebody and we might not learn so well from somebody else. So there's always going to be those dynamics, right? I know when I get into a room, if there's somebody in there that isn't my favorite, I'll sit at the other end of the room. Or, you know, I won't ask for help from somebody that I cannot learn from. You know, somebody who doesn't sort of connect with me, I'm just not going to ask them for the help I need. I'm going to find somebody I can connect with. So peer mentoring doesn't mean you accept whatever there is. It just means you have to get to know you, what works for you, and then go out and seek it. I talked yesterday on Wednesday, we did an emergency preparedness workshop at the CCB AGM in Langley. And one of the things that struck me in that room, folks, was a room full of blind folks. There were a few sighted people in the room, but I was shocked at how many people in that room whose focus was those people, those emergency, the ambulance or fire rescue people, they're going to have to learn how to talk to me because I can't see and I'm blind and they have to learn how to do this. It really struck me, it hit me hard that in some instances we're losing focus on our personal responsibility. If I need to learn it, what's the phrase? As a matter of fact, this is twice now in a week I've heard this phrase. I heard it at a Lions Club conference last weekend and I heard it yesterday. It's a whole bunch of two-letter words. You don't have to get fancy or complicated. The line says, if it is to be, it is up to me. Right? If it is to be, it is up to me. And as I said to the folks in the emergency preparedness program yesterday, you can sit there and demand that somebody else is going to do all of this for you, and they're going to come and rescue you, and you're just going to sit in your living room and wait for somebody to come and rescue you. They might find you deceased, right? Although that's a dramatic expression of it, when it comes to emergency preparedness, but it is not up to them to make sure you're going to be safe. It really is truly up to us. And it's the same with our technology. It's not wise for me to sit at home and wait for the CNIB to come rescue me or any other organization or professional trainers. Don't sit and wait. We've got to get up, get out there, find our way to a group of blind folks, and let's go and help each other and ourselves. And I fashion myself a fairly good technology user, and I don't know that I've ever participated in a get-together with technology group meeting where I haven't learned something. I remember one of my early ones that really told the story for me was a Nanaimo group, and I just thought, I'm going to be bitchy right now. I'm just going to complain about this thing that my iPhone doesn't do for me. And that's all I had to do was spit it out of my lips. And somebody in the room said, "Oh, Albert, for God's sake, just bring your cursor down to the top of the text you want to keep, and then double tap and hold the delete button, and it goes brrrr and just erases everything that's above that text you want to keep." I thought, you're kidding me, right? Because before then, I was forwarding on emails that had all that header junk at the top that you then, when you received it, had to read through. Now I can clean all that stuff up by simply complaining about something at a meeting and somebody had an answer for me. So don't keep your concerns or your struggles and your frustrations to yourself. Share them so that we can help. Anybody else have any sort of thoughts, any examples of that sort of thing?
Mine's kind of unrelated. I do work part-time. I work for Disability Alliance.
Okay.
And I actually, believe it or not, I deliver stuff for them. I take packages around. And I have GPS on my phone, so sometimes they'll ask me about a place, and I'll say, well, let me look it up. So I'll Google it, and I'll say, well, this is an easy route. I'll just use my GPS, and sure enough, it's right on the corner of a street. It was really easy to find, so I'll say to them, well, that's simple. It was just right on the corner of this street and that street. And they asked me, and they showed me exactly the address. I mean, I think it's about using the tools you have.
Yeah.
Not only, getting together is a good thing too, but once you have it, you really have to use those tools.
And you know what, if you buy, or if somebody convinces you that you need an app for your phone or you need a device and you go off and buy it, if you don't even turn it on and try, you don't even know what questions you ask when you do get together with others.
That's right.
That's my point, yeah.
So in order to generate questions, kick the tires on it a while.
Yeah.
Try it, and if you get completely befuddled, do like I just did. Turn the stupid thing off and start over.
That's right. I mean, I do that with Blind Square because sometimes it'll happen. They'll say, it'll show me where I am, but then it's like, I'm already walked 100 feet and it's still telling me the same thing. Shut up or give me the ring.
And also, please, I think I said that to somebody in the previous session. I just very quickly said, nothing is ever going to replace really good orientation and mobility skills.
Absolutely.
I've had my GPS device tell me about the street 20 meters after I've passed.
That's even worse yet, because I'm like, I know Vancouver really well. Like I moved to Vancouver, like long and short of it is, I moved to Vancouver over 30 years ago, and I got places pretty much memorized. Like, yeah. I can tell you that sometimes if I go to have to go to a particular building, I'll remember because it's right on the corner, yeah. Or it's maybe mid block. So
do you have any vision at all?
No,
none. He doesn't.
None. Okay. You know, the big difference for me around technology was, you know, for years when GPS devices, remember the old Trekker Maestro? Some of you might remember that device, okay. Humanware. Quite a few people were buying that device. Some folks were coming back from guide dog schools with one of those. And I kept saying, no, I don't need that. I know my way around Victoria. I'm good. And so I kept resisting because, you know what, I'm good. I'm a good traveler. I'm a good cane user. I'm okay. But I didn't realize to what degree I was living in sort of constant state of anxiety when I was traveling. You know, I'd sit on the edge of my seat, and I don't know how, a couple of times the bus driver, I told the bus driver exactly where I wanted to be, but he or she forgot by the time we got there. So now I'm 6 blocks past my stop, and I've never been here before, so I was a little panicked. And so I didn't realize just to what degree I was limiting myself in my travels. And so when I finally got a really good deal on a Trekker Maestro, somebody sold a $2,000 device to me for $600, I went ahead and bought it. I had no idea how much my life was being limited through the sort of that insecurity, not being really sure. And so what changed? After that, I lived in James Bay in Victoria behind the Parliament buildings. And after that, once I bought that device, I didn't care what street I turned onto. I wandered all over that community that were places I had never been before because I knew that the device was going to be able to help me make my way back to something I knew. So all of a sudden, instead of only traveling the paths I knew, I was now out exploring on a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah,
spread my wings.
Yeah.
The other big change was when I was riding the bus. I could sit back and relax like everybody else and read a book because the Trekker, you know, was telling me every street I crossed. So when I got to, you know, a couple of stops before the one I wanted, I could start to, you know, turn off my book and put things away. So it made a huge difference for me that I had resisted just because I hadn't had the opportunity to sit in a room with a bunch of people and hear their stories about the difference it made. I just was living in that resistant place and saying, nah, I don't need it. But if we really truly listen to each other and hear each other and ask questions and have kicked the tires enough to know what questions to ask, it's really powerful to be in a room with other folks who have already experienced what you're going through.
Albert, I think a really interesting thing is that what we all have to think about, and a lot of it happens at a subconscious level. We are really afraid of this stuff before we know anything about
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And there's an interesting story that I got from a seminar I was at last weekend, and it's this whole idea of anything you want. It's all about the hero's journey. And in our case, well, the journey is that the treasure you want is in way down in a really dark, deep cave, but it's the thing you ultimately want in life, but you're afraid to go into the cave. And there's a certain interesting parallel, because we know we want this technology. We know if we had access to it, we'd be on a much more level playing field, etc., etc. But it's taking that first step. It's going into the cave and sort of feeling lost. Like, for the iPhone, the flat glass screen is a cave. You look and go, I don't want to go in there. I'm afraid to touch the thing. I don't. So all of a sudden, if you're exploring that cave as a group, you feel a lot more confident to play and discover and coach each other in what goes on. And that can happen not only on land, as in everyone gathered at the GTT, but I think one of the things we should be looking at more is Zoom is fully accessible now. There's all kinds of ways that we can do this online, and you get enough people helping each other online. Not everybody can come to the meeting, right. So it extends into virtual reality and helps that.
And you can do small groups or large groups with Zoom. Zoom is a conferencing system that can be used either with a telephone or with an internet connection through a computer or an iPhone or iPad.
Oh, okay.
So Tom, and one of the things that that we're mentioning without actually using the word is fear, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Please, I'll share a story, and I mean, this is really true.
Remind me to come back to the fear thing.
Yeah, well, this comes to fear.
Okay.
Though I always said I couldn't afford technology, it was that fear of going and doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll always put everybody else before myself, and I said, one day I said, no, I have to stop this.
You have to get selfish.
I have to get selfish.
Yeah.
And the selfishness came to the point where I had to look at the cheapest way to do it,
sure.
maybe, mm-hmm. but I got it, and I took a course with Albert for 2 weeks, and it started me on the road.
And she was one of the A students, by the way.
No, I was not. But
no,
the point is,
what was it?
I was actually, when he was working back, it was a course, it was a computer course.
It was in 2008, 2009.
No, 2009 I did it.
Yeah, but those are the 2 years I was doing that program.
Yep. But what I'm saying is that was the time I bought my speech for my own computer at home and said, I had put it off to learn Windows. I didn't have the courage. I was afraid.
Yeah.
Well,
so and it's what Tom, like, fear is what Tom has mentioned. It's what holds us back most of the time with most things. Have you ever evaluated the word fear? F-E-A-R. It stands for false evidence appearing real. Okay? So fear, 9 times out of 10, and I experience it almost daily in my own life, I'm afraid of something, I'm anxious about something, and so I avoid it, I walk around it, I sneak past it, I crawl under
it. Through it!
I just avoid all kinds of fear because I have created the story around it. And so I create it just strong enough that I can't get through it. But honest to gosh, once I do finally bite the bullet and go ahead and do it, I always look back and say, wow, that wasn't so bad. But when I'm building the fear that to stop myself from getting there, I usually build it strong enough to hold me back.
So Louise, do you now spend a certain amount of time helping other people with their technology now that you know it?
Well, others say I do.
Yeah. Yeah, no, she participates tremendously well in the GTT groups and stuff.
I was Louise.
There you go. When you're in trouble, you always phone Louise just so you can get a little deeper into trouble.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, I'm just saying it took me this long, but it took me 10 years to talk myself into doing it.
Yes.
Now, Albert, can you address the point, if someone is fearful, is there any way to help them overcome the fear, or something they just have to do on their own?
I think you have to do it on your own, but I think, too, though, if you come to a group, and I mean, because I'm here to sell peer mentoring, right? So if I only have a hammer as a tool, everything starts to look like a nail. So in my mind, coming to a group, and only if you feel safe in the group, and that's a really important key. In a group, if you can express the fears you're having, hopefully people won't chastise you or belittle you for having and or expressing that fear.
Okay.
Hopefully
call
the
you
groups
a dinosaur.
Huh?
Or call you a dinosaur.
You know, we hope that there's enough social work skills in the room that we will be respectful and cordial, and that we will be helpful to people.
Okay. I'm always scared that if I'm asking a stupid question.
Like, and I think that's the biggest one. I think a lot of people will say.
Sure.
I've heard a lot of people say that. Even I am.
Yeah. No. It's we all do a certain amount of that. But please, Boy, if you ever get into a GTT group and you are in any way, you know, made to feel shame because of a question you've asked, please come and talk to me about it, because that means we need to do a bit more coaching within the group. Darren?
I've got a couple points here. Number one, I'm somebody who works with technology all the time, and my job is involved in that.
Yeah.
But there's no way I can learn all of it. So
nope.
It's advantage to having other people you can talk to about it. They know something you don't.
Absolutely.
And the other one is, I can't go and learn everything out there. It just isn't enough hours in the day.
Right. That's the thing.
So sometimes
so
you can let somebody else learn and then learn from that.
And you know, I don't know how many of you in the room subscribe to the GTT support email list.
Yes.
A couple of you do. One of the things that I've discovered in that list is that somebody will throw up a question and you'll get at least 3 different answers. oh, how do I, you know, how do I create a group in Outlook email? You'll get three different ways to do it. Nobody's wrong, and no one way is right, but many of us learn different paths. For example, we've got one guy on that list. If David puts up a solution to a question, his will always involve all the shortcut keys. Oh, you just do Alt Control M, Shift Control G, right foot on top of the left, and, you know, like, he will give you the shortcut keys to do it. I don't know about you guys, but I can't remember more than about six things, right? I'm 60 now. I've lost all my nouns. When I'm looking for, I say, pass me that that white shaky stuff, right? So trying to remember all these shortcut keys doesn't work for me. So what I will always do is I say, okay, once you're there, just press the applications menu key and then arrow down through the list until you see something that you recognize, right?
Yes.
So I take a longer route, and eventually, if it's a process I'm doing eight times a day, I will learn the shortcut key, but it cannot be my first path. So whenever we get on that list, you know, David will show you what the shortcut key is. I'll show you this sort of longer way of getting it done, and then somebody else will come along with a third and even more interesting way to do it. So it's beautiful. That's that peer mentoring. All I'm doing is throwing up a question, and then, no, I didn't mean to say throwing up, no. I'm throwing out a question, and I'm getting three answers, and I get to pick which one I want, which one's going to work for me.
And sometimes on the list, the biggest one I find is solving a problem that you cannot solve on your own. A technical problem with your phone or a technical problem with something, mm-hmm. that is even sometimes you've tried everything you can think of, and then... Yeah. And
with some of Louise's questions, when we can't answer them, we just come back and say, Louise, just throw it against the wall. It'll work. I'm sure that it'll work.
Give it a kick, stop.
Well, they actually did that once.
We're losing control of the crowd now.
That's why I sometimes feel like you're working.
Darren, go ahead.
I didn't quite get to home, I think. The other one is, how often does somebody meet?
So what Darren is asking is, how often do they meet? Well, you know, The group in Saskatoon is not one of our groups. It's actually VIRN. It's a visually impaired resource network who does that. It's called the Tech Ease program that VIRN does. You're right. It is, the timing of these groups is always problematic. In Ottawa, for example, we have a Monday evening group, which typically is the higher end users that tend to go to those meetings, and then they have a Thursday morning drop-in session, which tends to be the newbies, the people who are just getting involved in technology. So in Ottawa, they've got enough interest in the GTT program to run two sessions. Here in Vancouver, we have a Tuesday morning session in New Westminster from 10 till noon. Then we have a Saturday morning session in Vancouver at Vancouver Community College from 10 till noon. And then every 2 months, we do one in the library on a Sunday afternoon in North Vancouver. We have a group out in Chilliwack that meets during the day on a Monday afternoon. And we've got, is Alex in the room? Nope. Alex Jorgensen is talking about getting something going out in Langley. So there might be a group out in the Langley, sort of Maple Ridge area in the near future. Victoria, we do a daytime meeting on a Wednesday from 1 till 3, and we've talked about trying to do an evening one, which might get some other folks who are working during the day and can't get there. You know, and that's what groups have to do. We have to look at who's interested in the program and what's going to fit best for everybody. Edmonton, three out of the four coordinators of the Edmonton GTT group, they all work for local colleges and for the CNIB and stuff. So they're not available during the day, so they've selected a Monday evening for their meeting. That way people can come from work and go to the meeting and then go home.
I can't remember when the GTT conference call is.
It's on a Wednesday afternoon starting at 4 o'clock our time, the second Wednesday of the month. It's 7 o'clock Eastern time, so 4 o'clock BC time. Anyway, any other questions? Yes?
It's Peggy.
Yeah.
I'm new to this blind and low vision world. I've been legally blind now for less than a year. And I tripped into GTT because my brother, who's also low vision, in Ontario, saw an announcement. Oh, he said there's a low vision meeting in North Bend. You should go. I had no idea. And Albert may remember the first time I came, or maybe he didn't, because it was way more significant for me. But I walked in there freaked.
Yeah.
Because I was losing my eyesight. I had no idea that this meeting had anything to do with technology. I had no idea what GTT meant. I just knew that I needed to connect with people who would understand me.
Yeah.
And I know when Albert asked at the beginning, there were a few people who said they had not started going to low vision meetings. I've become a junkie.
We can't fix all of her.
and to talk about fear, Albert could tell you, I'm more comfortable in a room full of spiders, rats, and snakes than I am in a room full of computers. However, I am now taking a course at VCC, yep. And I'm facing my apprehension, and I'm learning a little bit every day. And I must say that I was grateful that I tripped into that GTT meeting, because one of the things Albert said to me, and you know, I was there freaking out when I found out.
And it was your fear was palpable. Yeah, we noticed.
Yeah. When I found out about computers, I thought, oh my God, am I ever in the wrong spot here? And Albert said, you know, technology is things like using a cane or managing in your kitchen, and he leveled it out for me, and I appreciate that.
Hopefully alleviated a bit of the fear.
Yeah, and you know, I go in there and I come out half the time. I understood 10% of what we talked about, but it's 10%.
But you only have to learn one thing to have made it worthwhile, right?
Absolutely. So yeah. I am greatly, encouraging people to get involved as much as they are able.
And the other really important factor, and it's one of the dilemmas we had when we first started up this program, is do I put out a detailed agenda about what's going to be discussed, or do I just leave it open and go with whatever shows up in the room? And we battled back and forth on that. And at the end of the day, we do now put out agendas, and we have failed to honor the agenda at times when something more important comes along. But one of my great fears about putting out an agenda for a group gathering like this is that somebody might self-select out because they're not interested in that, or they already know enough about that, or they're not interested, or they already know enough.
Or they're terrified of it.
Yep. And you know what the sad thing about anybody who self-selects out of the group? You might have just robbed the rest of us of a really great nugget that you could have provided that day.
For that beginner in the room.
Yeah, so for peer mentoring, I think that it's tragic if we only look at it from the selfish perspective, from what I can learn. I think it's really spectacular when we are willing to be the support others might need, as well as to seek, things for ourselves. But I don't want people to self-select out when they see the agenda that we've put out. Come anyway. There's a second hour we try and reserve that for just, what's on your mind? What's alive in you? And let's talk about that. Fear. We talked about fear earlier. I participated in a CNIB workshop one time. I was one of the panelists. It was Susan Engel and Victoria had gathered a whole bunch of people who are employed and invited a whole bunch of other blind folks to come to the room who might want to sort of hear some stories about how folks became employed and how they've been able to keep their jobs and that kind of stuff. So it was one of those kinds of employment panels. And one of the gentlemen in there, he's a mediator, conciliator kind of dude, runs his own company, totally blind, guide dog user. And the story he told was about fear. Like he put it in a perspective for me in a way that I could understand. So he said, fear is that thing that all of us face every day. Just picking up this white cane, walking out our front door and making our way to the curb and either turning left or right, we've overcome some fear just to be able to do that. We overcome fear if we turn on the stove to boil a kettle for tea or to make a meal. We've probably battled some kind of fear to get to that place. He said the way he told us is he learned through yoga that fear is one of those things we all face, and the route he took to overcoming fear was to name it. First of all, don't avoid it. Don't pretend it doesn't exist. Give it a name. let it stand there in front of you. Don't try and sneak underneath it or, you know, crawl around the side of it. He said, just look at that fear, face it, lean up against it, and just keep leaning until you pop out the other side.
Give it a kiss if you have to.
Yeah, but and he's, but he said, like, and you know, he said that to me that day, and I heard it, and I understood it, and I chewed on it for a while, for 2.5 cotton-picking years, before I would tackle crossing Douglas Street in downtown Victoria. Before I would bother, I was dating somebody who lived at the intersection of Bay and Blanchard. It's a big intersection. It's got an island on all four corners, little merge lane. And I would take 3 buses to get over to Quadra Street so I could walk 2 blocks back down or 3 blocks back down to where she was instead of crossing that intersection. So there I was, 2.5 years ago, I've heard this story and I understood it and I got it, but I didn't know how to use it. Until one day I decided, for God's sake, blind people have been crossing Douglas Street for years and they're still alive. So I just decided one day, I came bopping down Yates Street and I was listening to the traffic and I just got totally focused. I said, I am crossing that damn street today. Right, and I just wandered right on down there, stopped at the curb. I stood and listened to the traffic because one of them is a one-way street. I stood through one more set of lights and thought, okay, I've got this thing. And I just buggered off and did it. So even if you know it, even if you understand it, that doesn't mean it's going to happen for you immediately. So get together with folks, learn as much as you can about yourself, because then at the end of the day, the stories you're telling yourself in your head are yours. We can only help you understand that there are other ways to do stuff. So come together as peers. Come help us, allow us to help you, and we'll have a whole lot of fun in the meantime. And if to lighten the load on any meeting you go to, just before you leave for the meeting, ask Google Home for a joke that you can bring to the meeting. They're so much fun. They're as corny as they get. The joke I got from Google Home a little while ago, she said, do you know why I have a pet tree? It's almost like having a pet dog, except the bark is quieter. On that note, we shall wrap this up. It's 10:30, and I think there's another
coffee break downstairs.
And I'd like to thank Albert on behalf of the ABC.
Thank you. Thank you all.